turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. In verse 6, the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and give you something really that I pray is very helpful to you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, let's read verse 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Let me give you an idea of what's going on here so you know, if you're not familiar with the context, what's happening. David is going to be the next king of Israel after Saul dies. Saul has a son named Jonathan, and Saul wants his son Jonathan to be the heir to the throne. And therefore, for that reason and several other reasons, he doesn't like David, and he has attempted to kill David twice with javelins in his own palace. And he's chased David down, and on three different occasions, one when they were attempting to get him in Keilah, and another time in Jedi, and another time in the hill of Hakilah, Saul came with an army to get David. And so David finally decided the only way that Saul's going to leave me alone, I got to leave. And so he leaves Israel and he goes into the land of the Philistines, and he is with a king named Achish, and the king has given David a city in Philistia called Ziklag. And Ziklag is the place where David lives with the 600 men that are his band of roving soldiers or men. And the way they live in Ziklag is that he attacks outlying areas of people that are generally enemies of Israel, and he wipes out the whole group. He kills men, women, children, everything, takes all the spoil, and then his men live. And they live there for like a year and 4 months. The Philistines and Israel are going to war, and Achish says to David, I want you to be my guard, basically. Secret service. So, special king guard. And when they leave, the elders of the Philistines say to King Achish, you know, what better way could David endear himself to King Saul than by going into this battle with you and killing you? You need to tell that boy to go home. And so the king reluctantly tells David and his men, you can't go into the battle with us, you got to go back. So they return to Ziklag. It's been 3 days since they've been gone. And you're reading about their return to Ziklag in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Verse 1, it says, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So when they get back to their place, their city is burned down. Verse 2, and had taken the women captives that were therein, and slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But, and here's our text, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to encourage us tonight with verse 6. Milton, would you pray for us, please?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, verse 6 says. But David was in a place where his family was gone. Ahinoam and Abigail had been taken. His city was burned. Ziklag was his place, given to him by the king. His possessions were stolen. All of the animals they had, cattle and sheep and oxen, all that gone. Children gone. And his men were against him. They were grieved, and they spake of stoning David. So basically, if you think about it, everything was against him. And it was at that time that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was all alone. Didn't have his wives, men against him. And he found himself literally in a place where it was just him and God. And instead of despairing, thankfully, he encouraged himself. And I'm going to say to you, God will put you in a similar circumstance in your life. He will put you in a situation in your life where you feel like you are all alone. And listen, he may not put you in that situation when you're 18 years old or 30 years old or 50 years old. He may wait until you're 60-something years old, 70-something years old, and then he'll put you in that place. At some point on this side of eternity, most people that God wants to use will find themselves here where David is. And he wants you, like David, to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. And you know what happens to a lot of people is they get overwhelmed with depression, they get overwhelmed with despair, they get overwhelmed with their circumstances, they get overwhelmed, they get bitter. They don't encourage themselves in the Lord, they get stuck right here. And that's not an uncommon thing. I have met a lot of people that got to this place in their lives, did not encourage themselves in the Lord, and forever from that time on, they are stuck in this spot and always refer to it as the time when God let me down or the time when this bad event happened or this bad thing that happened in my life. And everything forward that is bad is always a reference to that thing that happened before that was bad. Now, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And if that verse is true, when you find yourself in this situation, it is an ingredient. It is not a destination. And so the Lord wants you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Listen, David was shocked. He, like the other men, came riding over whatever precipice leads into the town Ziklag and found that place probably still smoldering in smoke. And you have to know that whatever they felt about the fact that their town had been attacked, he felt. He was shocked. And not only that, but he was grieved. The Bible says in verse 4 that they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever been so sad you weeped yourself out? There was nothing more. You were out of tears, out of voice to cry. That's where they were. David was shocked. He was grieved. And the Bible says in verse 6, he was distressed. And the distress obviously came from, you know, I'm the guy that led him down here. I'm the guy that suggested we go into the battle. You know, I'm the leader. He's carrying all the weight of it. But the distress is increased by the fact that the very men who have been with him this entire time that started out with him in the cave of Adullam and had been chased by Saul and been through all these things together now decided they wanted to kill him. I mean, it's bad enough he's been running from Saul who wanted to kill him. Now the men wanted to kill him. And he understood that they wanted to kill him because they were grieved, just like he was. He understood the feeling. I remember when E.V. Hill was preaching his wife's funeral and he talked about an episode where Nora Rose, their daughter, got mad at him because he ran off her date. You know, some punk came and he just stood in the middle and said, "Get out of here." He was rude. He said, "You don't get no racehorses out of no mules." Ran that guy off. So she got mad at him.
She got mad at him. She was angry with him and said some things that he would have never allowed his daughter to say. But he let her get away with it that day because he knew why she was angry. And he cut them a little bit of slack because he knew why they were grieved. Nevertheless, most men don't want to be stoned to death. You know, these kind of things will take you down. When you find yourself in a situation where your house is burnt down and your family's gone and you're grieving and you're distressed and things aren't good at the job and all the other things, they will take you down. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. He had to get with God. There was nothing else he could do. There was no other solution to the situation in which he found himself. And he knew God well enough to know that he had to get with God. And that's the purpose of God taking you to a place in your life where you will find yourself, like David, where you think you don't have a friend in the world. I've been in that place. And I did have a friend in the world, but at the time I didn't think so. And had to go to God in order to be encouraged. Now, he encouraged himself in some things about the Lord. First of all, I think he encouraged himself in the Lord's presence. God was still with him. If his family was gone and his men had turned against him and his city's gone, God didn't go anywhere. And I'll tell you that when you find yourself in a very, very bad predicament in your life, please understand something. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he wants you to know that. And wants you to fellowship with him as the only and as the best friend that you have in the world. He encouraged himself in God's presence. God was right there. And may I tell you something? God's right there with you. You think, well, I don't feel him here. You don't have to feel him to know he's there. I want confirmation of his presence. You read that book and there's plenty of confirmation of his presence. I like what I heard before from Caleb when he said, I didn't know that God was all I needed until God was all I had. I don't like what Caleb's doing now, but I like what he learned then. And it's very, very true. God wants you to know that He is your all in all. He solve and satisfy everything. I also believe that David encouraged himself not only in the Lord's presence, but I think he also encouraged himself in the Lord's promises. Did not God send Samuel to anoint David to be king? Was he king yet? Then that promise hadn't been fulfilled yet, and prophetically David could say, you know what? God said he's going to take care of this thing about me being the king. I'm not king yet. This isn't the end of the story. I don't know how the story ends, but I know until I get up on that throne, this story isn't over. I tell people who face bad circumstances, you still breathing? Yeah. I said, well then, if you're still breathing, God's still got room to get some things worked out in your life. Listen, God made some promises to David and God has made some promises to you. And you'll find that when you get into that Bible and you start reading in there and you start claiming some of those promises for your own, it's an amazing thing how God can encourage you with those because he lets you know that he's got something for you that he wants you to do. I also believe that David encouraged himself in the Lord's protection. Who was it that protected David when he went in to get a dowry for his wife, Michal? You know, Saul set David up and said, you know, you want to marry my daughter and I realize you're a poor man, you don't have anything to give me. I want 100 foreskins from the Philistines. David went and got 200. Saul was hoping that when he did that, the Philistines would kill him. Who protected him? God Almighty. Who protected him in the battle with Goliath? Who protected him in the times that Saul threw the javelin at him? Who protected him when miraculously David is surrounded by Saul's men at a very time when the Philistines come in to attack and Saul has to break off? and David is protected. You know, David had been through the episode with the bear. He'd been through the episode with the lion. He'd been through the episode with Goliath. He'd been through the episode with Saul's javelins in the house. He'd been through the episodes of Saul attempting to kill him while he was hiding out in the wilderness. And the Lord always was there for him. And you know something? David could look back on all that and said, you know what? He protected me through all those things. I believe the Lord's going to get me through this too. Has not God been good enough to you to let you know that if He got you this far, He intends to get you just a little bit further down the road? It's not just a matter of His presence, but it's not just a matter of His promises, but it's also a matter, you and God have some history together, you know. I like that song, God Will Take Care of You. And you know that because you've already seen Him do it some. I believe also that David encouraged himself not only in the Lord's presence and promises and protection, but I also believe that he encouraged himself in the Lord's provisions. You see, the promises of the Lord are prophetic. The provisions of the Lord are historic. But God, the protection of the Lord is historical, but the provisions of the Lord are right now. You got to know that just a few months ago, Peter Doolittle was pretty distressed about what was going to happen to a church that they had started off in one community and left in the hands of a pastor that went bad and had about 15 people over there that they had to try to find some way to get into Timaru where they were having the church that they're having now and trying to figure out what to do. And he thought, well, I've got to pray. I remember the letter. He said, we don't know whether to go see if they can't get a pastor in there to restart the church or get a bus and bring them over here. And I told Randy at the time, I said, until he figures out what God wants him to do, let's just pray for him because there's nothing for us to do. And then finally he decided, well, restarting the church isn't going to work. What we need to do is we need to get a bus, but how in the world are we going to afford one of those? They don't run for anything less than a bunch of money. So he put it out there and said, well, God's led us to get a bus. And boy, the money started coming in. And I told Randy, I said, now I think it's time for us to pull the trigger. Let's get with the church and see what y'all want to do. And you said, let's send him $7,500 and added to what they already had was enough to pay for the bus and the little provisions they needed. And you know, I look back on that and I say, you know what? Today, Peter Doolittle is rejoicing in the provisions of God. But this isn't the first time that he's seen God's provisions. May I tell you something? When you find yourself in a situation where it seems like the whole world is against you, you got to remember that the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills is right there with a checkbook to take care of whatever it is you think you need. And if it is something you need and God's given you the wisdom, listen, to work within His provisions, anything you need, He'll be right there to take care of. You're going to hear a prayer request next week from a missionary's letter that I read and talked with Randy briefly about at 6 o'clock this evening. And you know what you got right now? Some folks that need to be encouraged about something concerning the Lord's provisions. And my little email back to them was, I believe just like you do that God is able, and if you're doing what God wants you to do, He'll spend the money to accomplish what He wants you to do. And David's looking at a situation where they ain't got nothing, but they got a God who has everything. And that's really all you need. Listen, does it make any difference to you whether the money you're going to need next week is in your bank account or God's bank account? If it's in one or the other of those, you can pay the bill. And God's bank account is a whole lot bigger than your bank account. And as long as you can count on the God of provisions, you got all you need. And David realized that. Now, those things were there to give David courage. You know, the word encourage in the middle of that thing is courage. And now once David, the great warrior, has courage, he can go on and do anything. And once you have courage from God, then you can get up and go on. So what we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to run around and fret whenever we get ourselves in a situation like David was in. And I know that. I remember one time when we were playing hockey when I was in Bible college. Hockey, you take the stick and there's a certain way you use it in order to either roll the puck, or that's what we used was a plastic ball because it was on concrete, to either roll that thing or slap it in order to make it rise up and curve. In either case, you don't swing it like a baseball bat. We were playing with some guy that came out there, I'd never seen him before, and he was swinging his like a baseball bat, and since we're playing in tennis shoes instead of on skates, those sticks are about that much too long. I had mine cut off so I could grab the end of it. He didn't cut his off because he had never been there before. He just grabbed one of the sticks. And it was about that much too long, so he grabbed it down and had about 8 inches of stick sticking out behind his hand. And he's swinging it like a baseball bat, right? So I'd come up to defend him on a particular play, and he cut that thing all the way around. And when he did, the back end of that stick caught me right in the jaw and pushed my teeth through my cheek. What I'm trying to say to you is that really hurt. And you know what I did? Have you ever killed a chicken? You know what a chicken does when you kill that thing? It just runs all around like that. Just fly, 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 until it dies. Well, it stirred up every nerve in my body, and I took off running. I was running it all over that court with my stick because I just hurt so bad. You know what we are when we find ourselves where David is? We just run all over the place. We make phone calls. We get on the internet. We post it on Facebook. We email and text and go crazy. And you know what? He just wants you to settle right down and get God. Then when you get courage, then you go. So once he had courage from God, then he could go on. You and I must trust God right here. And you know, if I ask you tonight, how many of you would stand up and say, I trust the Lord? Everybody in here, stand up. You find yourself in a situation like this, then I'll ask that question. And some of you wouldn't stand up. Because you know what? You'd be saying, if God really was the God that He said He was going to be, why did He put me in this place? And it's when you're in a place where all you can think to do is ask God why, and you can trust Him, now you know you really trust Him. I've had conversations with people in the last couple of months, and it seemed like every one of those, or many of those, the people had gotten to a place where they were just asking God, why, God? And that when you find yourself there and you can get through it, now you know you're trusting Him. So he was encouraged, and after he got encouraged, you read it with me this afternoon when we read this, he then called Abiathar and inquired of the Lord. Then he prayed. He said, now, you want me to go after these guys? He said, yeah, go after them. And I want to let you know, you're going to recover everything. And do you know something? He did. Look over here at verse 18. Verse 18 and 19, the Bible said, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. He could have never done that if he hadn't encouraged himself in the Lord first. Now, look at the good side. It's bad when your wife's been stolen. Bad when the kids are gone. Bad when everything's been spoiled. Bad when the city's burned down. But look at the good side of a few things here. And then I'll show you one more thing David encouraged himself in. And we'll be through. He encouraged himself in the Lord's presence. That's number one. His promises, His protection, and His provisions. But look with me at just a few things here on the good side. How many days had they been gone before they got back? On verse 1 it told you what day it was that they came home. The third day. Isn't it a good thing that Achish's soldiers said, you better tell those boys to go home. Isn't that a good thing? They were all upset that they'd been run off by the army. If they hadn't been run off by the army, it may have been weeks before they got back. And they never would have recovered any of that stuff. Look at that. You know, it was a real good thing that they didn't end up fighting in that battle with Achish against Israel. Because it was in that battle, according to 1 Samuel chapter 31, that Saul and Jonathan and two of Jonathan's brothers died. And do you know that David and Jonathan had a covenant together? They loved each other, and the love they had for each other was greater than the love that women have for men, or men have for women. And David didn't have to be involved in that fight where Saul died and Jonathan died. That's a pretty good thing. And he didn't have to ever have that cloud hanging over his head when he went back to rule in Israel. I'll tell you something else. They recovered all. That's a good thing. I mean, what is it to you if somebody else has your possession for a couple of days and you get it back? Nobody was molested. They didn't do anything to the women or the children. Everything was in a state just the way it was. As a matter of fact, if you keep reading on through chapter 30, which we won't do now, you'll find out not only did they get all of their stuff back, but all the stuff the Amalekites had taken when they had gone through the south, they got also. And you know what David did with that? They went back to all the places in southern Judah where they'd been hanging out, where they, what the Bible says, where they were wont to haunt. I like the way the Bible talks, where they were wont to haunt. And they gave that spoil to all those people that had been taking care of them all the time they were running from Saul. Paybacks. That's a pretty good deal. And that wouldn't have happened. I'll tell you something else. What were they going to need with Ziklag? What were they going to need with Ziklag after this? Saul died. Jonathan died. They're heading back to Israel. He's going to be the king. He's going to sit on the throne. Ziklag, it's over for them. As a matter of fact, Ziklag would become one of the cities of Achish, who was going to eventually fight against David. So why not burn it down? No great loss. Sometimes you lose something, you think, oh, it's a great loss. I had great memories associated with that. You'll get over it. The funeral director in Beeville, John Galloway, his wife Elizabeth had breast cancer and a vicious fight with it until she recovered. And they were moving from their old, beautiful family home to a smaller house. And one of the movers dropped a box of her great-grandmother's heirloom dishes while she was holding the screen door open to let them in. I mean, just crash. Broke every dish in the box. Of course, the guy was horrified. Elizabeth smiled and said, break another one. After what I've been through, they mean absolutely nothing to me. What was he going to need with Ziklag? Another thing is, the people that they had to defeat in order to get the possessions back were the Amalekites. Those are the people that God told Saul to destroy in 1 Samuel 15 that he disobeyed. Those are the people in Exodus chapter 17 that Joshua had to fight, and God said, I'm going to remove their memory forever. If you had to fight against somebody, pretty nice battle to fight right there. Why not? Now, you know something? They could not have seen. Listen again. They could not have seen all of these things at the moment they saw their city burned to the ground. But God could. God saw all of that. And so, when you encourage yourself in the Lord, listen, you also have to encourage yourself in His perspective. What He sees of the trouble you're in is not the same thing that you see. He sees what He's going to bring that's good out of the situation. You see everything that's bad with it. And what you want to do is encourage yourself in the Lord where you can begin to get a glimpse of what He's seeing in the situation so you're not overwhelmed by what you're seeing in the situation, and it will change your life. I said to somebody recently, I look back on a situation that I went through in my life 15 years ago, which seemed to be ministry ending and just horrible. And I look back on that site today with great affection because it's of that reason that we're here doing what we're here doing today. Why wouldn't I thank God for that? And so you encourage yourself in the Lord's perspective because, hey, if the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and He brings this kind of thing into your life, it didn't take Him by surprise. And He definitely has something that He's trying to work in your life. Like Nathan Bemis said when he preached over in that other building, you get off the potter's wheel with that vessel just about made in the fashion you think that would please God most, and He crashes all the clay and throws it back on the potter's wheel for another turn. Because God said, I can make it even better than that. You've got to trust His perspective and encourage yourself. God sees something in what you're going through right now, or will be going through, that's altogether different than what you see. And you can be encouraged in that. Because you're the clay, He's the potter, and He's making the vessel. His hands aren't off of you at all. But you got to trust Him. You got to give it up and let Him make it into what He wants it to be. So David encouraged himself in the Lord, and tonight I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord, in His presence in your life, in His promises in your life, in His protection in your life, in His provisions in your life, and in His perspective on your life. And once you get encouraged, then you pray and pick it up and go on from there. It'll be all right. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you can trust that. Amen. Father, thank You tonight for an opportunity to be encouraged in the words of God. I'm asking You please to minister these and edify us all. We all need this. It may very well be that somebody tonight finds himself or herself in this very place. I pray they're encouraged by what they've heard and what they've seen. It may very well be that it'll be years from now before somebody goes through what we've talked about tonight. May they be of ready mind to remember what they've heard. Bring it back to their memory, as You promised by Your Holy Spirit that He would bring that back to our remembrance, all things that You've spoken to us. For we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.